Welcome to Life Church St. Peter's. We hope that this message challenges and encourages you on your walk with Jesus. If you'd like to know more about us, visit our website at lifechurchstpeters.com.
This morning, I want to speak about three different people. Two of them will feature into the actual scripture. I'm going to read two passages of scripture that I think are appropriate for this day as we celebrate Easter. The first person is going to be prominent this morning will be Jesus. That's appropriate. Second person is someone who encountered Jesus, had her life changed. Name is Mary. And the third person is yet to be announced. But we'll be talking about these three people this morning. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you that we can celebrate you with, for so many of us, with understanding. That we're not just singing religious songs. We're not just singing out of a book that means little to nothing to us. But Jesus, you came and you broke into our lives and you changed us. You changed me from the inside out. Help me this morning to communicate your heart to your beautiful people. Lord, that we would understand how much you love us and what it cost you to express that love. As Andy prayed this morning or spoke this morning, love looks like something. It's always expressed tangibly. And Father, you expressed your love tangibly to us and sending your Son to die that I might live, that we might live. Thank you. Help me, Father. Holy Spirit, help me to communicate your heart. And again, everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. So first, the backdrop, the first set of scriptures I want to read, there'll be two different passages. We're going to talk about the backdrop, why, for the second part. And the context of this story, this very true story, is a story all about Jesus, the very end of his life on earth. And Jesus' effect on people. It's out of the Gospel of John, chapter 19. I'm going to read, just kind of moving through the chapter, not reading every verse. But in John 19, this is one of the disciples that followed Jesus, loved Jesus. And he desperately loved Jesus. The scripture talks about how much this man loved Jesus. So we're just going to pick it up and we'll just hit some of the highlights. This painful passage of scripture. And speaking, obviously, of Jesus as he's going to the cross. And verse 2 will start. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers, twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they clothed him in a purple robe. Why did they do that? To mock him. Verse 3. And went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Why would they say that? In mocking and derision is why the soldiers were saying that. And not just mocking him. And the scripture says, and they slapped him in the face. Skipping down to verse 16. Finally, Pilate, who was one of the rulers, think of him as a mayor, if you will. Finally, Pilate handed him, Jesus, over to them to be crucified, back to the soldiers. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Verse 18. There they crucified him, and with him two others, two criminals, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Aren't you glad Jesus still gets in the middle of our lives? Verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Lots of Marys. And they call her Mary Magdalene because she was from the city of Magdala. Verse 28. Later, knowing that everything, this is speaking about Jesus, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." This is while he's hanging on a cross, close to death. Verse 29, a jar of wine vinegar was there. And so they soaked a sponge in it and put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." Meaning all the prophecies for hundreds of years, for loads of prophets that said this would happen. And Jesus said, "It's happened. I've concluded why I, mission accomplished." This was the mission that God, his Father, had set before him before time. He didn't come as a result of people's mess up and, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? This was God's plan always, that Jesus would come and die for people, humanity, people just like me and you. With that, verse 30, with that, he, Jesus, bowed his head and gave up his spirit, meaning he'd passed. Further down, same chapter, verse 38. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate, the ruler, for the body of Jesus. And now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and he took the body away. Verse 39, he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night, also a secret follower of Jesus. There's lots of secret followers of Jesus. Maybe even in this room, there are secret followers of Jesus. The main thing is that you follow Jesus. He takes us where we are and we move through life. The goal isn't to be a secret follower of Jesus, but he loves us in the midst of our journey, wherever we are. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. That's a boatload. Taking Jesus' body, verse 40, taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it, the body, with spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance or in custom with Jewish burial customs. Verse 41, at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And to finish this first section, this first passage, verse 42, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, Passover, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Again, Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Why would you come? Why did you come? Why did you have to come? For me, for us, for people so unworthy. I was 18 in my own life, never went to church, hated church, never been there, but I hated it. But at the amazing age of 18, I was into drugs and alcohol. Many of my verbal words were all started with an letter F. Those were not, I wasn't a secret swearer. I sweared publicly. Hated church, made fun of my Christian friends. And I, at the age of 18, decided I need help. And a friend of mine had become a Christian. One of my closest friends, who was probably more messy than I was. He also at the age of 18. And he asked me, at the front end of a fishing trip, and he told me all about Jesus until he was blue in the face. And I stopped him, probably at 1 a.m. I stopped him and I said, his name was Owen. I said, "Stop! I don't want to hear anymore. I want what you have," because I knew I needed it. I said, two conditions. I don't want to be phony, and I don't want to be religious. But I want what you have. And that night, August of 1977, I invited Jesus into my life. I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't know anything about the Bible, didn't want to know anything about the Bible. But that day, my life changed. second passage of Scripture that I want us to look at. John 20. We're going to read, skipping again through this. This is directly after Jesus was on the cross and gave up his life. John 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, Sunday. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene, that same Mary who was at the cross, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Next nine verses happened. We're going to skip down to verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Remember, verse 1, the stone had been removed, rolled away. Verse 11, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. Which Mary? There's so many Marys in the Bible. Well, Luke 8, verse 2 tells us this Mary, Mary Magdalene, it says in Luke 8, 2, and also some women who had been cured of evil diseases, spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Why was Mary a follower of Jesus? Because Jesus had encountered this very Mary a couple of years before. And this Mary, full of demons, the scripture says, had become a follower of Jesus. And she loved Jesus with everything in her. Full of demons. You may think you have problems. I know I have some challenges. You know I have some challenges. And it's funny, when you know you have challenges and you're so aware of them, it makes it so much sweeter to know now you're forgiven. It makes it so much sweeter. The best testimony is someone who never strayed away from God. That's the best testimony by far. But there is something sweet to know you're so messed up on the inside and know, I need help. Mm-hmm. Mary Magdalene needed help. I needed help. Maybe you need help. Back to verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. This is where her Savior, the love of her life, her liberator, Jesus, was supposed to be buried. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. Verse 12. And what did she see? And the scripture says, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. What do you think those two angels look like besides white? Angels. I don't answer it. I think, I don't know that I've ever noticed, was aware, I'm actually seeing an angel. But this woman, a relatively new follower of Jesus, saw two angels sitting there. I think that would get one's attention. There should have been a body laying there. She sees two angels. Verse 13, I find this fascinating. Can you imagine? Her mouth had to be hanging open. Angels. No Jesus. She's had been weeping. I'm sure the tears, her cheeks were still wet from the tears running down her cheek. She looks in her mouth agape, seeing two angels. I love this. God's humor is so funny. Verse 13, and they, the two angels, they asked her, woman, why are you crying? Seems obvious. So she answered, they have taken my Lord away. What's wrong with you angels? Didn't you get the memo? Don't you check email? What's the deal? Maybe you went to spam. He's not here. They have taken my Lord away, was her answer. Woman, why are you crying? And she went on and said, and I don't know where they've put him. Verse 14. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Can you imagine? She had witnessed, physically witnessed him die on a cross. She watched it happen. It was like, oh, I haven't seen you 3 or 4 days, Jesus. Great to see you. He was dead. She saw them take his body limp and carry it away. She was an eyewitness. And now she turns around. She's asking, where is he? Angels are saying, why are you crying? She's like, hello? Then she turns around and sees Jesus. Oh my gosh, can you imagine? Again, I love the humor of heaven. Verse 14, at this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. I remember the first time I read that, it was like, hello, Mary. How could you not know? And Jesus asked her the same thing the angels had just asked her. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? What a question. They know each other, Jesus and Mary. He'd cast 7 demons out. She'd followed him. Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for? I love this. Thinking, this is Mary's thoughts, thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I'll get him. And Jesus said to her, Mary. So beautiful, so kind, so tender, so... Remember, she's weeping. She's distraught. And instead of him saying, lady, hello, I'm him. What's wrong with you? I told you all this was going to happen. That's not what he said. He took this woman with a broken heart, crushed in her spirit, every hope dashed. And what does the kindness of Jesus have to say to someone who's distraught in anguish and pain? All he says is, the sweetest name, hers, Mary. Can you imagine the tone in his voice? It wasn't like your mom when you had 5 extra cookies tucked into your pockets with crumbs all over your face. And she said, what have you been eating? And for me, well, growing up, because I was a great liar, Thomas Malone Kyle, tone. Yeah, that's my middle name. It's twice in a couple weeks. You remember your mom's tone and her voice when she's irritated, when she's frustrated, or even worse, your dad? That. We're familiar with tone when disappointment. But how about the tone when it's kind and gentle and inviting? There was such love, such kindness in his tone. Her eyes opened to see what 30 seconds before was hidden from her. Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Isn't it amazing that Jesus brings people right in close? It's my God. And Mary, it's your God. To my dad. And Mary, your dad. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. And of course, stubborn men being stubborn men, they didn't believe her. That's another story, another day. But this woman, who'd been so messy in her life, so messy, She'd found freedom. She'd found forgiveness. She'd found love. She'd found mercy. And now they killed him. He never did anything wrong. And they killed him. This beautiful, amazing woman named Mary had been so disappointed, so crushed, so vexed in her soul. She was such anguish, she couldn't even recognize him. That's how distraught she was. He's right there, 5 feet from her, and she thinks it's somebody else, the gardener. But when she heard his voice and heard the word on his lips, her name, instantly her eyes were opened. It's Jesus, the man that I love. It was him. She recognized finally his voice, his eyes. It's him, but you're dead. How can this be? In her pain, in her loss, she couldn't recognize him. Maybe it was because her eyes were so blurry from the tears, so red. She's been crying for 3 days. And her only, if you've taken his body, tell me, I'll go get it. I think her own disappointment had so blurred her heart. Her vision wasn't the problem. Her heart was blurred from anguish and pain. It's over. I saw it. I saw him. I was there when he died. And for you sitting here this morning, simple question. Have you ever experienced pain so deep, so crushing, so overwhelming that you're just distraught and you can't find reason because of the pain and anguish that you're going through? And sometimes in life, the pain is so deep, so perplexing, so overwhelming that the pain actually becomes part of the foundation of who you are. Because it's so much, so deep. And when we wear that pain and anguish on the inside that overwhelms us, so that we can't see things that are so obvious to everyone else. Many times it's because of bitterness, because of circumstance, anger, unfixable pain, loss, that kind of pain. That kind of pain, it jades hearts. It hardens hearts. It skews perspective. It can break something on the inside that it can be, our hearts can be irreparably damaged. There's a proverb, Proverbs 13:12, and some of us can actually recite this proverb. It starts with, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So many of us know this verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Life isn't supposed to be this way. I found Jesus. Why the pain? Why the loss? We don't know if she was angry. We do know she was disappointed. In the inside, if you've ever had this kind of pain, this kind of loss, is a thing that can roll around in your head. I can only say one time in my life I've ever been in this kind of place. Life wasn't supposed to be like this. It wasn't the gardener that she was speaking to. It was Jesus. And he simply said, Mary, the kindest voice. But it wasn't the Jesus that she knew before. It was Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. Purpose concluded. He came for the very reason that she was experiencing. He came for her. It's the power of the resurrection. And Jesus that we celebrate today, he is the King of resurrection. The King of a new day. The King of a new heart. A new opportunity. New faith. That day, the day of his resurrection, was the most important day in all of human history. Jesus himself had experienced the pain of humanity and had suffered death. The most horrific death any human being has ever suffered. Jesus is the King of resurrection. And now what he wanted this woman to understand is, Madam, I've got these disciples, and I'm really close to them, but I love you so much, ma'am, I'm going to start with you. A woman in a society that had little value for women. She's just a woman. And Jesus said, yes, you are just a woman. The woman that I love, and I want to start with you. The honor of starting with a lady that I love with all my heart. Jesus does things so backward to what our society is. You're just this. You're just that. And Jesus says, I want to start with the just to show you your value and what I've called you to be. The first person to testify of a resurrected Jesus. And inside of the dead things inside of her, Jesus called resurrection life out of her and into her. To reestablish hope, to reestablish dreams. So beautiful, so powerful. Resurrection life now in Mary herself. Previously, dreams shattered, hope disappointed. Now, sweeter than sweet. He's alive. My Savior, my friend, my mentor, my dream. He's alive. How much sweeter now? Hope dashed and now alive again. The second person that I mentioned was Mary. And the third person that I want to mention this morning, first was Jesus, second was Mary. Third person I want to just mention is you. Your name. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you have shattered dreams. Maybe like myself at the age of 18, I had made a pigsty of my life. I just told you the nice bits of my mess. I left out the truly ugly things that I had done. There's no reason to glory in the ugly. The third person is you. Whether you have shattered dreams and maybe just disappointments. And maybe because of disappointments and hurt and people harming you, disappointing you, maybe you, like me, were walking with a very noticeable limp. Problem is, my limp was internal, and most people's limp is internal. And we learn to function with our limps. We learn to live life with our limps. That's why counseling offices are so full and such a great career path for so many people, because there's so many broken people, hurting people, damaged people. And Jesus doesn't come necessarily just to counsel you. He comes to heal you and make you whole. And he's the only one who could do it one time forever. That's what Jesus offers you, to give the resurrection that he had to put it inside of us. It's called faith in Jesus, and it makes me whole. In Deuteronomy 31, once we make that decision for Jesus, Deuteronomy 31:8 says this. This is the promise, part of the promise. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And I want to revisit one verse. So many of us know this verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know there's a comma? There's a comma to that verse. Not everyone knows the second part of the verse. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled, a longing filled full, is a tree of life. Yes, we have all experienced broken hearts. But have you experienced life on the inside? True forgiveness, true healing, true wholeness. That's what Jesus offers. And Jesus offered it to her that day. Can I ask you to do something? Maybe a little awkward, but it's okay. You won't see anything if you listen. Let's just close our eyes just for 30 seconds. Just close your eyes for 30 seconds. Nobody's going to take your wallet or your purse, I promise. Just close your eyes for a second. I just want to say this. Jesus still calls out names. That day he called out Mary's name. And I just want to say, Jesus, today, in the quietness of your heart, not distracted by looking at anything else, Jesus is calling out your name right now. Say, Sue, he loves you. Don, he loves you. Riley, he loves you. Adam, he loves you. And there's sweetness in his tone, because that's who he is. While your eyes are still closed, I'm just going to pray. If you want to, you can pray with me. It's what I did when I was 18, and it changed my life. I knew I needed help, and I needed hope, because I was pretty hopeless. It's a young age at 18 to be so messy, and I was great at it, at making a mess. But I didn't know how to get out. And my friend told me about this man named Jesus. And I prayed a prayer, and my life changed. I still had challenges. I still had Tom to deal with. But Jesus changed me, and now I had a hope in life. I proved to myself I couldn't do it on my own. And Jesus is here calling your name today. And he says, what about you? Is today the day you would like to say, I need help, King Jesus? If that's you, just pray quietly, silently with me. Jesus, I'm here today. I've heard this before, but Jesus, I need help. I need help. Will you help me, King Jesus? Please help me. It's easy to say, I need you. I've made a mess of my life, and I have, Jesus. Please forgive me for all my wrongdoing. I willingly invite you into my life this day. To forgive me, to heal me, make me whole on the inside, Jesus. I give you the keys to my life, that from this day forward, you would be in charge of my life. I want to follow you the rest of my days, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for helping me. I want to follow you. Help me going forward now, Jesus. Help me. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, Jesus takes you at your word. If you prayed that prayer, we call it giving your life to Jesus, inviting him into your world. Other people use words, born again, which is accurate. It's a second chance, a fresh start in life. Can I just encourage you? It's almost impossible to keep following Jesus in secret, like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Tell somebody today, I asked for help. I asked Jesus into my life. Tell somebody so that you can walk this out in a real way. People want to help you and stand with you. I know I needed help.